Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's time to talk to Royals VP, Assistant GM Player Personnel, J.J. Piccolo, who joins us every week during spring training. J.J., good morning. How are you?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing awesome. You know, J.J., I try to come up with different questions every week. The topic, hey, I'm not, it's not me. You can't blame me. I got to talk about what's topical. So I'm watching.
If anything,
this game
we have to blame you and Dayton for drafting this kid.
Right. Well, there you go. So I'm watching this game on Sunday, and sure, it's a home run, but a 12-pitch at bat that results in a walk, you know, and that's in many ways was almost more impressive than the home run. And so it's like little things that happen here and there that just open your eyes even more. And then, of course, Dayton did an interview where he said, look, the team is open-minded to him making the team out of, you know, spring training or whenever. And so, like, when you watch that, like, say, for instance, that Sunday night game, of course the home run and who he hit it off of is impressive. But, boy, you got to love those at-bats where he's digging in and he's showing great pitch selection. He's taking the pitcher 12 pitches and he ends up getting on base. That's really got to put a smile on your face, right?
No question. And it's not the first time we've seen him do that. Last year at the alternate site, he was facing a veteran pitcher who didn't know him. And, you know, he did the same thing. You know, down 0-2, fouls off 7-8 pitches, ends up getting a hit the right field. Then five days later, same pitcher does the very same thing, but it was actually 12 pitches at a bat as well. And that pitcher came in the dugout and goes, who is this kid? You know, so, you know, and then to see him do it again this year. So it's not out of the norm for him to do things like that, and it's pretty special. I mean, that's a tough spot to be in. Over 50% of your bats end up with two strikes, but when you're 0-2 and you can work an 8, 10, 12-pitch at bat, whether it's a hit or not, that's a victory for the hitter. That's a victory for the team. So doing things like that are pretty special.
How about the base running of scoring from second base on an error in the infield?
Yeah, he's got a high motor. He doesn't stop. He's a hustler. He did it earlier in spring training with two outs. He was on first base, and there was a pop-up hit, you know, over the first baseman's head, and he was going hard like it was a double in the gap, and the ball comes down, and he scores standing up. So, again, we've seen him do things like that, and that's what's going to make him – you know, it's one thing to be talented, but it's another thing to be a special player. There's a lot of talented players around the world that don't play in major leagues and don't become superstars. But when you get guys doing things like that, they're giving themselves the best chance to be an all-star year in and year out. And it's just the way he was brought up. It was the way he was raised. He grew up around the game. And I don't think his family expects him to play any other way. That's just the way it was. His dad had a reputation, even though he was a pitcher, to be a very hard-nosed, blue-collar guy. And I think it's just rubbed off on Bobby.
So we talked about this when the news came out a few weeks ago, but I think it is important to revisit this because we're getting closer to the season starting. And so and not just with Bobby Witt, this affects other players. You've got double A and triple A delayed until May 4th. And I know you've talked about how successful the alternate site was and the work and the development that took place. But when you look at the two, and maybe there's just not enough evidence yet to go either way, have you, at least in your mind, been able to determine how valuable, say, a month is at the alternate site versus a month of playing games in AA or AAA? How much does the development suffer, or does it, or is it just different? Where do you come down on this?
Yeah, I don't think, Stephen, there's ever a replacement for game competition. You know, we made the best of the alternate site last year. because it was the best of a tough situation. And there were some good things that came out of it. I know we've talked about it before. There were some really good things that came out of that alternate site. But now you're talking about a year and a half where guys have not really faced outside competition. So we're not as excited about it right now, but a lot like last year, it is going to happen, and that's the way it's going to be for a lot of good reasons. So we're going to make the best of it again. The harder part is trying to determine, you know, what do we need in the alternate site to be called up to the major leagues? Because you do have to be at the alternate site to get recalled to the major leagues. So that's the tougher part. I think if we had our druthers, we would want them playing games every day. And there's a chance we'll play games this year at the alternate site. We're working on that right now. If we're able to play 15 to 20 games at the alternate site, then that'll solve our problems. And then we'll just treat it like it's a triple A season. If there's not games at the alternate site, then we have a different challenge. We have to be able to supply our major league team with the proper players there that can get recalled. And then there are certain players who maybe fit in that category but need the game competition more so than some others that would be better suited playing in games here in spring training. So we've got a lot to figure out in the next 11 days. And, you know, there's going to be some challenges with still some things to be determined.
So when you say play games, does that involve trying to get together with other minor league teams that are doing the same thing, or how does that work?
Yeah, it has to be. We can't play anybody who's not in the testing cycle, so we'll have to play. You know, right now we're looking at Texas because we're, you know, 5-6 hours from. We're going to be, we're going to announce it today, but we're going to be in Northwest Arkansas with our alternate site, so we're 5 or 6 hours from Dallas, where we can go down and play the Rangers. They can come up and play us. There's an outside chance, you know, we could play a Rockies team. There's a chance we could play the Cardinals. So we're trying to put that together. The tricky part is that we're not allowed to go away to play when our major league team is at home. Your alternate site team needs to be at home, so they're within a couple hours of getting to Kansas City should we have any need to bring multiple players up. So we have to match up schedules. When one team's away and one team's home, that's when we can play each other, or both teams are away. So we're matching that up now. We've got some calls today to try to, you know, determine what a game schedule may look like. And that's different than last year. So MLB is allowing us to play those games, and we're going to take advantage of it best we can.
J.J. Piccolo is our guest. And J.J., so you mentioned it's going to be Northwest Arkansas. I know a couple weeks back you mentioned there were a couple of sites that you guys were considering. So what went into the final decision to make it Northwest Arkansas?
Well, we always had the option of Omaha and Northwest Arkansas just being our affiliates. In this case, Omaha has some things scheduled at their field. They also have a professional soccer team that will have to play some games. So the availability of the field didn't match our needs as much as we'd like it to. Certainly would love to be in Omaha, would love to be in Northwest. I mean, we love both cities, both stadiums. And then with the Monarchs now, I know last year they were the T-Bones, they have some things going on at their stadium. And we certainly did talk to them, and they were gracious in the talks. But at the end of the day, it was the best situation for us with field availability to go down to Northwest Arkansas. Also, you know, when you talk about weather in April in the Midwest, Northwest Arkansas has a great indoor facility there with batting cages that if we did run into cold weather, you know, we have options to jump into the batting cages there, and pitchers can still throw off the dirt mounds and hitters can get their work in. So it just protects us a little bit more from the weather in April, which we didn't have to worry about last summer.
We're visiting with J.J. Piccolo. A little breaking news there. That's interesting to know about the alternate site now. We're going to be in Northwest Arkansas, and hopefully teams able to work out a deal where they can play some games with some regional teams in the minor leagues that are also in the testing protocol. So that's good. That makes you feel a little bit better, I think, if you're a Royals fan, about some of these guys that might be close to the big leagues instead of just – and again, you pointed out to us, J.J., it's not like they're just wasting time at the alternate site. They got a lot of really good work in last year playing against each other, but you've also pointed out to us that playing games. There's no substitution for that, so that would be great if you guys can work that out. Well, let's get back to the big league roster a little bit. You guys got a couple of weeks left to make your final decisions on who makes the roster as well. How would you categorize just the way the meetings are going now in terms of, it seems like most things are pretty settled, but you know, what are the conversations like right now? How do you guys feel about maybe the decisions you have to make here in the last couple of weeks?
Well, we're really happy with the way players are performing, you know, and that's always a good thing. We don't feel like we're going to have to settle or make a decision based on a lack of performance. We like the way guys are performing right now, and there's good, healthy competition going on. So I think we've got to make some decisions on, you know, maybe our five starter or our bullpen, the extra outfielders, who are they going to be? The infield's got to be determined. But, you know, the group of players that we're talking about, it's narrowed down a little bit. And, you know, there'll be a lot of discussions over the next week between Mike and Dayton and how Mike sees the team and what Dayton's seeing. And, you know, it's a good feeling, though, because there have been years where, you know, maybe we've got to settle a little bit. But I think right now I don't feel like we're settling. We're just trying to put a team together that allows us to compete at the highest level on April 1st. You know, those games in early April are just as important as games in September. So, actually, you got to play well in April and May to have meaningful games in September. So trying to put that team together to satisfy how Mike feels like he may use the personnel, whether it be a bullpen or using the bench, you know, they're the things that are going to be worked out in the next week. But, again, the best thing about this is, outside, you know, everybody has a night or two, you know, over a month where they don't perform, but we haven't had guys just not performing, you know, so it's been a good thing. And even the guys, maybe you look at the batting average or you look at their ERA, you know, the sample size is so small that it's more about how are they taking their at-bats, how are, you know, what are the quality of their pitches, because we tend to forget, and we got to remind ourselves all the time, that spring training is to get you ready for the season. Even though they're competing for jobs, it's to get you ready for the season. So guy may be hitting 200, but it may not be indicative of the work we're seeing, the at-bats he's taking. He's just not getting the results. So you got to factor those things in as well. We're getting pretty close to making those final decisions.
J.J. Piccolo is our guest. J.J., we listened to Josh Stallmont talk about his battle with COVID and how difficult it was, and that's hard for a normal person to recover from, much less an elite athlete to get back to the level he needs to be at. How close is he to getting back to 100% or to pre-COVID? And will he? Do you think he'll be there before opening day?
Yeah, I think he will. You know, his outing, I believe it was Sunday, was a pretty good outing. Yeah, you know, it was a clean inning, pretty good outing. And then last night he had a tougher one. But, you know, those things are going to happen. I mean, we've got a body of work with Josh in the major leagues now last year. We know what he's capable of. And it's just a matter of how's his body feeling, how's he responding. You know, eventually you like to see guys go back-to-back games in spring training at some point. So hopefully we get a chance to do that. But, you know, Josh is such a well-prepared guy that he's always in phenomenal shape. So his expectation is maybe a little bit higher than most guys of where he needs to be. That's just the way he's wired, and it's the way his mind works. So he may not feel like he's 100%, but his 80% may be better than somebody else's 100%. You know, so we got to factor that in well, and we know that even through the month of April, sometimes guys are still, you know, getting the command where it needs to be, refining a swing. But again, their 80% may be better than somebody else's 100%. So if that's the case, that person helps us win games on a nightly basis. So they're going to get the nod if they're just simply more talented.
We're visiting with J.J. Piccolo, and just on Stallmont, you know, from last year, did he perform at the level you guys expected? Were you surprised at all at some of the dominance he showed? And maybe what are your hopes for him in terms of if once he gets back to full health, you know, how good can he be as a bullpen guy?
Well, there's three guys that I've been around, you know, 20 plus years of doing this that it just have incredible arm speed and arm strength, and they do it so easy. Yordano Ventura was one of them. When I was with the Braves, Neftali Feliz was the other one, and then there's Josh DeMont. And I wouldn't even rank them. They're just different. There's so little effort put into Josh's delivery, and it's just explosion at the plate. I mean, it's 100 miles an hour, and it looks like he's just playing catch. And that's a really special gift to have. So what he did last year, we weren't totally surprised. I think it was just the maturation of the player and the confidence he was gaining. He started to realize that I can get away with a little bit more than a guy that's saying throwing 95 because I'm going to throw 101 or 102 here and there, and the hitter's still not going to be able to catch up to it. So I think he started to realize I can get away with a few mistakes because of how electric my fastball is. But he also has that curveball, and that curveball is devastating. So if you're a hitter, you're worried about 100, and you're worried about a really, really hard, sharp breaking ball that he can throw for strikes. And throughout his minor league career, he was always able to get back into a count with a curveball. So he's always commanded the curveball well. It's just a matter of how hard he wants to throw it. He's got the get me over, and then he's got the one that he's going to strike guys out with. So if you're a hitter, especially a right-handed hitter, that's really tough to defend. And so we're not surprised by it. It's just a matter of, you know, how does he keep developing? Even though he's in the major leagues, how does he keep developing? And, you know, the confidence, as the confidence grows, you know, there's no reason why he can't emerge as a closer at some point in his career and be a really good one.
J.J. Piccolo's been our guest. J.J., I know that you're probably too busy for this, but any bracket challenges around camp? Are you going to fill out a bracket for the NCAA tournament?
Well, they're floating around. I know that.
Right.
They're floating around. I mean, that's a little bit of get everybody's mind off the stresses of spring training, 12-hour days, and, you know, it's fun. You know, it's fun for the coaches to do things like that, and, yeah, we have fun with it, and it's certainly, you know, a lot of trash talking amongst players, especially when their colleges are playing in the tournament. So it's a fun time of year, and it does sort of divert your mind a little bit. When you go home, you turn on basketball and just watch the basketball games and get up in the morning and go to work again and follow the games kind of throughout the day as you're walking through the clubhouse.
Yeah, just it gives us something to watch here until opening day. So it's a great bridge to opening day in the baseball season. Nate Buchanan, any final words for J.J. Piccolo?
You want to give us your final four by any chance, J.J.?
Well, we got a bunch of Michigan guys here, so I'm sort of pulling for Michigan a little bit. I'd love to – KU's on their side, though, I think. You know, so that's not going to make people at home too happy. Yeah, you know, I personally always kind of like watch Gonzaga play, so I wouldn't mind seeing Gonzaga. I guess my sleeper team's West Virginia, and I've watched like maybe 3 basketball games all winter, but West Virginia for some reason sticks out to me, and I can't even recall who the last team was, but I know we got a lot of Michigan guys in here, so there's a lot of talk about Michigan, especially when they were number one seed.
Do you root for Nova
as a sleeper of West Virginia? So I like that.
Yeah,
Nate.
I got West Virginia my final four, and everybody's making fun of me, JJ. So I appreciate that. Do you root for Nova as a Philly guy, or how do you come down on that?
I do, only because a childhood memory I have is when they won it with Raleigh Massimino. You know, and the city was excited about it, and I wouldn't say I'm. By no means a diehard Nova fan, but I think Jay Wright's done a great job. And yes, I pull for them. You know, I pull for them. I'm not gonna lose sleep if they don't win. But you know, it's a good program. It's a small school. It's a great academic school, and a lot of kids who grow up in that area want to go to Villanova. It's a tough school to get in, but for them to have an elite program like they do is kind of neat for a small school. So I do pull for them for a lot of different reasons.
JJ, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Thank you.
JJ's sleeper is West Virginia, and he says a lot of people are going in on Michigan, which makes me feel dumb because I have Michigan out in the round of 32 being upset by LSU. So
I've got that as well.
What do you think of that? Do you?
Yeah,
no, I'm definitely changing it.
Yeah, you should feel bad about that. I think JJ really knows what he's talking about, though, that West Virginia pick, clearly.
Jake, are you taking this all in, Jake? I've been trying to cater to you, to try to get you some help with picking these damn games, because you ain't watched college. You don't know what the hell is going on right now.
I identify with JJ. He's like, I've watched like 3 college games this year. Like, yeah, me too.
You don't know.
Me too, JJ.
I'm trying to get as much information into your head between now and the time you've been invited to the St. John family, and you can be on the hook for $1,000. Unbelievable. Putting that kind of money up for this thing. This is fantastic.
What are your kids doing to have $1,000? I don't even have $1,000.
Right, exactly. Well, no, it's you and Jared that are putting it up. That's why you got to be invited.
Well,
it's in the fine print.
That's nothing to Jared.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. Jared will cover me.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll give him my bookie his number as well.
That's right.
Jared will cover me. Oh, so, I know that at Wichita State tonight, I'm leaning that way.
You're going with Wichita State over Drake.
Money line.
So what has Jason Justice done to you where you won't support his team?
Absolutely nothing. That guy is I should be rooting for Drake if we're going to do it that way. Like, because Drake he's the best. He's taken care of me so many times.
Radio station would literally fall to the ground like a house of cards if it wasn't for him.
You want him happy.
I do. I mean, now, the type of guy he is, like, we're working on some new equipment here, and he waited for me to get back in town. He's like, I didn't really want to make any decisions because it's a piece of equipment that I'm going to be using regularly. He's like, I wanted to get your input on. Like, most people would just be like, yeah, here you go. You're going to be dealing with this.
Yeah, who cares what Jake thinks?
Right. That's what a thoughtful guy. But I still, when it comes to basketball, I have to lean towards Jarrett Sutton's expertise.
How do you feel, though, about Nate, who was once considered an enemy of Wichita State, and now with a possible Kansas-Wichita State rematch in the NCAA tournament on the horizon, if things fall right, now Nate says he is a Wichita State supporter, and all the ill will needs to be ignored because it was not for Wichita State, it was for Greg Marshall, and now he's ready to be a shocker unless they play Kansas, but he still is supporting them. Do you believe that? Do you think that's genuine?
Well, I mean, we're talking about royalty here, right? I mean, they are the kings of Kansas.
They currently are still, yes.
And Bluma, right? We got Bluma. I want Bluma to be
Rudy.
Happy.
I have nothing against. I have nothing against Wichita State.
Greg Marshall. 100% Greg Marshall.
Yes,
is what it was.
100%.
You had an axe to grind against this guy.
Well, it wasn't. Because of that little soundbite you play, it sounds personal.
What soundbite?
Have you officially
better hear that one again.
Tried to reach out to KU to play this game?
I think you missed the first question.
Yeah,
You're a little tardy to the deal. I'm not going to answer that question again.
Some people that have been on this bandwagon for life, the Shocker Nation, they might say as you're waving them down, hold on, wait a minute, is there a seat for me? And you're running after them. Maybe they think you were a little tardy to the deal, and they're not going to let you on.
Hey, I think that maybe they were a little tardy to the deal when it came to figuring out what Greg Marshall was really all about.
Oh.
Maybe I was a little ahead of the deal on that, because it's hard when you win a lot of...
A little tardy to the deal. I'm not going to answer that question again.
When you win in a lot of games, and I understand this isn't exclusive to Wichita State fans. This is exclusive. This is for fans of every program. When you win in a lot of games, you know, you don't really want to see the other side of things. But
you look past the flaws, won't you?
I've been around. I know too many people personally who have been mistreated by Greg Marshall over the years. You know, and just too many.
You're
a little tardy to the deal. I'm not going to answer that question.
That's a small little thing. That's not that big of a deal. You know, guys. You know, coaches.
It's not that small.
Coaches talk down to the media all the time. You know, that's not that big of a deal. But he berated media members. I mean, I know cameramen down in Wichita who got cussed out by him for accidentally knocking over a glass of water. You know, things like that. That's where
What about parking in his spot?
How well, we know how that goes. But look, I'm not saying that he was right to do that, but I can understand a coach being mad that, like, being disrespected that somebody would park in their parking spot. But I'm talking about when a guy
chased that person out of the parking lot. Or,
no.
You know what, Steve? Someone parked in Sandra's spot this morning. She was pissed.
I'll tell you what. I parked in Sandra's spot one time.
Yeah,
one time.
That's right.
And I never will do it again.
What happened when someone parked in my spot, my imaginary spot?
No, I mean,
I didn't realize there were spots
there
here.
Are.
So I parked in Steven's spot once, and once, one time only.
Don't do that.
You
want to
know something, Steven?
Sandra's.
When Steven wasn't here for the past year, how many times do you think I parked in your spot while you weren't here? Like, the days like today, when I know you're not coming in?
None.
Zero.
You want to know why?
No.
You want to know why? I have marked that territory. I have peed in that spot, and that's my scent.
Your scent is all over it, and I'm not going there.
You pull up, and you get close to when you get close to that spot, you pick up my scent, and you know not to park.
That's right. And Sandra's
as
well.
What the hell is going on here?
Sandra's as well. So I've been around enough people that I know how sensitive the parking spot thing is. So I'm not even going to get on Greg Marshall for that because I've been accosted by people.
Jake, have you marked your territory out there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've made people move their cars before.
That's right.
So
sure
I don't think any of us are in a position to get on Greg Marshall for the car parking thing, but
no, because it did not result in me chasing the person out of the parking lot.
Right.
That's not how it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I do believe, though, you did say to me, do you know who the blank I am? I think when I parked
I did. Do you know what my name is?
But
I think I might have been my little hug. I go, do you know who I am? Because I don't.
but he just, I mean, I knew.
Steven St. John.
He just.
That's what I want played when anyone pulls into that spot, by the way. I want that sound bite. I want that sound triggered.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you know,
Steven St. John.
When I was a young, fresh-faced, raccoon-cuddling kid down in Ark City.
That's quite a description.
Wait, you cuddled? I mean,
oh heck yeah!
I thought he was just like hanging out on your shoulders.
You cuddle with Shades?
You're cuddling?
Like, we would cuddle
like in your bed.
I mean, he would crawl all over us, and you know they can't see very well.
In your bed?
Not in my. Well, yeah.
Whoa!
Yeah,
you had a raccoon in your bed.
Listen,
yes,
Jake. Listen to how he starts off like that. Was not in my. In my bed.
Yeah, in my bed.
Yeah, he was.
It went from being like a ridiculous accusation. To, in my bed.
This is the breaking news that.
Is it any?
Like, were you wearing
a raccoon?
Were you wearing pajamas?
Right. You let your dogs in your bed?
I love my dogs. I'll shower with my dogs. They ain't getting in my bed.
Listen to me.
Dogs are not allowed in my bed. I mean, that's
let me go. You know what? Look, I'm no outdoorsman. Okay, but I'm going to go ahead and establish there's a difference between a raccoon and a dog. I'm going to let you know.
There is.
There's no eh.
By the way, my dog.
It was a baby raccoon. It was a baby raccoon, a little one.
So were you in there? Like, was it nighttime? And you got your pajamas on, and here comes this.
No, he slept outside. But sometimes we'd bring him in the house, and he'd crawl around on us and things like that. You know.
Did he hide in your shirt?
We got to take a break.
The point is, when I was
so weird.
With this topic.
When I was a fresh-faced raccoon cuddling middle schooler down in Ark City, on my basketball team, the best player on our team, Brian Hargrove, his mom was the head coach of the Wichita State basketball team at that time.
Did she know that her son's teammate was sleeping with raccoons?
Well, they lived on a farm too.
Doesn't mean they slept with a raccoon.
I didn't sleep with the raccoon.
You're cuddling in bed. What are you? What are you doing?
That was during the daytime.
You're getting ready to play baseball. You're getting ready to go to
take a nap.
You don't have to judge me. I don't need your judgment.
I'm not judging
you.
If you're feeling judgment,
that's on you, buddy.
On.
We're just stating facts.
We don't know. You're giving us new details that after 20 years we're just finding out about.
Right. I mean,
and so now we're trying to.
We've always known about
wrap
Shades,
our heads around this.
But I thought you were like giving Shades like piggyback rides.
Yeah,
and, you know,
we did.
But now, like cuddling the thing.
Well, the picture that I sent you guys, I'm holding him in my arms. Isn't that cuddling?
No. Cuddling's like spooning.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know if I didn't spoon with the raccoon. No.
That's what I'm trying to find out.
Cuddling.
When you say cuddling, like I cuddle with Susan, I'm hoping it's a little different than the cuddling you have with
Shade. No, it's not that kind of cuddling.
That's all I can tell you. Well, then you got to specify what kind of cuddling. That's what I'm talking about.
Hello.
Words mean something, sir.
Hello.
Raccoon cradling. How about Hello. That? I was a raccoon cradling.
I've tried that
kid.
Too, and let me tell you, that could be dangerous. Let's take a break. Back after this on WHC.